Well, time wings on, and here we are on Friday evening. Hardly seems any time since it was wash day. But the week flies on, and I've been very thankful on behalf of my wife and myself to be in this part of the world. It doesn't seem but yesterday since this brother Branch, he wrote this on this little card, at least a week, any time in March or April. And I waited to the last day of the year, 1977, and finally, well, I better do it, and I sent a telegram. And so we thank God that things work together for good, and we're here, because on furlough, this time I determined I wasn't going to travel from Dan to Beersheba, trying to pick up a few shekels here and there to get back to the country of our adoption, Africa. And so we decided under God we would go where we're wanted. And it's better to leave people longing than loathing. And I'm one of those kind of missionaries that when I come, I'm not talking about our work all the time. And I'm not showing pictures all the time. But if I get a chance to be in a place more than once, in this, as it were, say like a Saturday or a Sunday, and I have a chance of speaking twice, I like to present it in an illustrated way. And that's all, I believe, to the glory of God. But in my particular type of ministry, I'd rather leave you 1,000 times with the Word of God than anything I'm doing or together out there in Africa. And that's why when we're thousands of miles from here, try and remember it. Because in missionary work today over America, it's out of sight, out of mind. And it's a terrible thing. But we know something about loneliness. We know something about lack of fellowship. And no man's going to turn me about from anyone. They try. But I'm so thankful to God for our brother McNeil and the door being open for me to come in a place like this and have a time of ministry. Because I believe that we have something to give. And I believe God's people can be helped and encouraged. And that's our desire. But remember, just like this morning, that man that was here yesterday, what a wonderful contact to our brother Charles Gregory. And these two little books, I was able to mail them off to the president of Liberia in the capital city, Monrovia. Send two to Sir Francis Dennis down at the embassy of Monrovia or Liberia in Washington. Two of them to the Minister of Education and two of them to the Assistant Minister of Education. Why? Because here's one country in the world like Rhodesia that wants to get back to the early principles of countries like this. Get the Word of God into the schools. And so, having heard about that, I've been exercised in praying, and God allowed a man to come right across my path here in Raleigh, and through his instrumentality, the man that closed in prayer, our brother Reggie Carrara last night, he brought the letters. We got them off this morning. Pray that God may open a door for the putting of these two little books into the schools there, as they've been put into the schools of Rhodesia, Botswana, and Zambia as a textbook and reference book in all places of education. And we believe that under God, a drop of ink makes millions think, and that's why we need to leave something of the printed page. Now, some of you have been asking where my wife and I are going. It's quite simple. We're traveling the OPG route. You know what route that is? Other people's gas. We've been living this. We've gone here, there, everywhere. Well, we hope to get rent some kind of a car, but it's hard renting a car these days. You know why? Credit cards. And we haven't got any credit cards. Oh, I say, I pay cash. Sorry, we don't want that. But I say, I want to pay it cash. Oh, well, that's the kind of world we're living in. And we don't have credit cards, but we hope to be able to rent a little car, go from here to Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach to a weekend ministry at Florence, and then to our home assembly in Augusta, Georgia. And when we get there, well, we'll resume the OPG with other people's gas. But in the meantime, we're going there, and then while my wife goes up to Montreal, because one of our daughters is air conditioned, you know what that is, ATIR, and she's expecting, so mother will go up to be a help there. I go to the Bahamas for a 4-day conference, and then we expect to be up in Canada in June, and in the will of God, return to Bermuda and put our house in order and get things ready and be returning to Africa. We don't look forward to it. Never. We're thankful to God to be in the work, thankful to God to serve it. But when it comes to leaving a country like this and all your loved ones, for the birds. But I've heard his call. Go. Who wouldn't if they'd heard his call? My soul rise up to follow him. That's all. And I do thank God for health and strength and the privilege of being able to serve him in a day and generation like this. So pray for us that all things will be attended to in decency and in order, and we might be able to go to that land to carry on in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us come to the good word of God, Isaiah 55. And these are three chapters that go together. 53, you have suffering. 54, singing. 55, serving. And these three are like Genesis 22, 23, 24. They're like Psalm 22, 23, 24. They're like Luke 14, 15, 16, earth, heaven, and hell. And there's so many chapters in the Bible that should be read at a sitting. Here's one of them. So we come to 55, and the great key is after you've learned something about the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you, well, then you should break forth into singing. That's 54. Now you come to 55, go out and tell, because I have been saved to serve, and I have been fetched to fish, and God help him. Me, that's what I want to do. So let's read now Isaiah 55. It's so lovely. Some of these chapters are short and they're easy to understand. And especially as you think of this wonderful man of God, how greatly he was endowed when it comes to putting things in a way that people can understand them. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Wouldn't it be marvelous if God could write it over your head, over your heart? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now this is God's desire. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander to the peoples. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord, thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send you. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I am sure God will bless the reading of His Word. Now this evening, by the help of God, I want to take up the Gospel according to Isaiah. You see, this book has often been called the fifth Gospel, because it's so full of Christ. It's so filled with the person and work of our glorious Lord. And as you read a book like this, even if you're having difficulty with your vocabulary, it'll increase it and enrich it just reading it, because He uses such marvelous words. And yet, His language isn't too difficult. But as we come to a chapter like this, it goes with the other two, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And as we come to chapter 55, why do I call it the Gospel according to Isaiah? Because this man is called the evangelist of the Old Testament. Because wherever he went, he was presenting good news. And he was trying to encourage the people. He tried to be a blessing wherever he went. And yet tradition tells us that when they finally got him, he was one of those that was sawn asunder, was cut in two. We do not know. All we know that he lived a long and fruitful life, but on one occasion, he even was in such despair. He says, I have spent my strength for naught. And who hasn't felt that way in the things of God? But he discovered the secret that they that wait upon the Lord, they'll exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And all the way through his book, you discover that here was a man who drew from the inexhaustible resources of the living God. He incorporated it into his person. And walking through this world, his very name means salvation is of the Lord. And lots of people live and die and never discover it. Jonah had one of the most wonderful courses in the history of the world. He attended fish seminary, and he had a whale of a time. And what did he learn? He learned that salvation is of the Lord. And even the big fish couldn't stand it. And up he came. And there's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus Christ does all the saving and Jesus Christ does all the keeping. Your responsibility is yield, receive, take, believe. And it's so simple that a little child can grasp it, but it's so profound that many people never see it. And they die as they live and go to hell. In this chapter, we're taught four things. First of all, the Gospel according to Isaiah teaches me it's a proclamation from the Lord. That's why he begins, Ho, everyone that thirsteth. And when the truth of the Gospel burst upon the Apostle Paul, so marvelous was the realization of the Gospel to his soul, that he wrote a book, and it simply filled with the philosophy of heaven, how God could take a poor, dirty sinner like myself, he could clean him up, and give him a standing that no demon from hell or no man on the face of the earth could ever, ever lay anything to his charge. And at the same time, he upholds the holiness of God's throne, maintains the glory of his name, and he saves a sinner. And I tell you, it's such a marvelous theme that I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you have to know it. And the more you get to understand something of the teaching of the book of Romans, the more you realize only the God of heaven could ever, ever work out such a marvelous plan whereby men and women, boys and girls can be saved. That's why I think a lot of Christians never come to grips with eternal realities. They never get to first base when it comes to the teaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the result is they're content to live a scrappy, superficial type of life. And that's why they have so little to offer a godless world in such a day as this. And that's why I'm always thankful when I'm dropped down in the midst of worldly people. Because my circle isn't limited to a few gospel halls. And again we find ourselves among people that are completely out of it when it comes to Christian living. And I like to be among them years ago. I like to be among them now. Why? Because I believe with all my heart that the Christian not only has the best of this life, but it's the best of all that's to come. And it's up to you and it's up to me to do as we try to do among the Jews. Provoke them to jealousy. Why? Well, what's he got? What's she got? And we've got this treasure in the earthen vessel. And when people observe us and watch us, they will begin to realize, well, he's just like us. But he has something that's real and true and wonderful. And all a Christian life is, it's a supernatural life lived in natural surroundings. And here in this chapter, we have a proclamation. We have a person. We have a provision and we have a promise. And this is the way the Spirit of God sets it forth as I come to a chapter like this. Now let's look at it. First thing, we have a proclamation, and that's why I like this man. He keeps using little phrases. Oh! And that's why he was so moved of God. He says, oh, sinful nation. Why? Because his heart was moved. And what's the use of trying to win people and trying to go out to Africa or any other place for God, unless at times we are moved of God. And Isaiah spoke in such a way that even when news came, the hearts of the people were moved as the trees of the wood, as the wind blew. And he talks this way. And here he says, ho! And it's one of those expressions to arrest attention. Then he says, lo! Then he says, whoa, he uses it a lot. And then he says, go. And these are simple words. But here's one to get your attention. So if I meet him, I says, hi. He says, ho. Well, there's not much difference. So he says, ho. And immediately he uses certain words like C-O-M-E, come. Then he says, hear ye. Then he says, incline. Then he says, seek. Then he says, return. And he uses seven little expressions that are all very simple in English. And what he's trying to do is get the people's attention. And you see, this is an Eastern scene. And many a time when I wanted to meet somebody, I said, I'll meet you at the Damascus Gate. And I'd go and sit there at the Damascus Gate. And it's a marvelous sight. Because the people are coming from everywhere. And as they go through the Damascus Gate, all shapes, all sizes, all types of people, black and brown and white and so on. And it was the gathering center. It was the place where the people came together. Way back in those days, they never had any telephones. So you know what they did. tell someone. And then, of course, they used to tell a woman, and everybody knows. But they know, you know, they came to the watering place where they were able to get the water. And that was the means of conveying the news. Or if there was transactions to be carried out, they did it at a main gate. And in the midst of the bustling crowd and all the different peoples, here's a man. And he says, ho! And what is his message? His message is, come. Because there's something for you. And he uses language here that's really wonderful. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy, and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. And he uses these tremendous words. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Now this is foolish spending. And that's why a lot of people go ahead today and buy certain food, and it's so sweet to the taste. So in it goes, a moment of time, and then forever it's here, on the way. And if I lived too long in this part of the world, I would become a bishop. I got the arch now. And I have to be careful, because a lot of people dig their graves with their knives and forks. And he's talking here, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And that's why if you ever go to Israel, you can't buy any white bread. You buy Arabic bread. But they have gone aloof. Why? Because in the midst of that poor country and the people were coming from the four corners of the earth, they needed to help their people. And so they got the best brains in all of Israel together. And they produce a loaf that's going to be a help to our people. And they came up with a loaf of bread. Lehem, ha! That's why sometimes girls wear a little thing around their neck and it's got lahai on it. It means living! And they produce the loaf. And it's called living bread. Because it's got the kernel in it. The wheat germ. And yet we stuff our little kids and we give them things today like white sugar, white bread, and a lot of stuff. Doesn't do them any good. And we live in a poor country, Africa. And we have to watch because we haven't nearly the abundance. And that's why if I get a chance and I'm within it, I want to go in a store. Why? Because I've never seen so much stuff. And then I'm like that old Texan walking around one of the places. I said, I've never seen so many things I can do without. And that's why you should never go in a grocery store when you're hungry. But people today, they buy all kinds of stuff that's not bread. Doesn't do them any good. And things don't go better with Coke. Just a lot of eyewash. Belly wash, I mean. And the Spirit of God teaches us here. Why do we spend money so foolishly? Why do we labor so fruitlessly? Except the Lord build a house, you labor in vain that build it. And it takes years to get that on our brain and in our heart. So what do? We work ourselves and we expend ourselves and we do all kinds of things for an extra dollar. And we get all kinds of things, and yet in the long run, they don't do us any good. And the Spirit of God writing through this man, he's trying to get us to see that here's a proclamation from the living God. And if you could just remember this one question, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Now you must spend money when it comes to food. But some people live to eat. And then there's others who eat to live. And there's a tremendous difference. And when you see what our people in Africa exist on, and then come to a country like this, then you realize maybe a lack of food isn't such a terrible thing after all. Because we've got so many problems today. And so if he's a rich fellow, he gets the gout. And if it's a poor man, he gets rickets and few others. And sometimes when we have been in places and seen such malnutrition, our hearts are moved because we see people who are in need. We can't do very much, but we know what it is to go and help. And especially when we cross the border and go to Botswana and get all the kids lined up, and then they get this powdered milk, and it's still going on. And that's why the haves of this part of the world, they haven't a clue of the have-nots. And one of the greatest problems being a missionary is where to draw the line. So I can't start anything by giving them some food. I can't. I never know where to stop. But there's one thing I do. Silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give. And I've got the bread of God. And that's why, to me, this is a proclamation from heaven. Come! Because God has made abundant provision. And how has he made provision? In four things here. He speaks of waters in the plural. It's always in the plural. Then he speaks of wine. Then he speaks of milk. And he uses the word bread in a question. Here's four types of food. They're among the best in the world. None of us can live without water. And Jesus Christ is the water of life. And he stepped into this world. And what was his message? Ho, you who are passing by, come. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life. Whosoever believeth in me, out of his being, shall flow rivers of living water. What was he talking about? The Spirit of God. And when he speaks of the waters here, here you have the symbol of life, the life-giving power of the Spirit of God. And this is his provision. He offers wine. And he tells us what kind of wine. It's a wine of vintage. And you can read all about it in Isaiah chapter 25. For he produces seven things that all of God's people need. And one of them is wine. Because wine is a symbol of joy. And wine is a symbol of the blood of Christ. And that's why in the communion we take the wine. And God has offered a wonderful, wonderful table. And there's the water. And there's the wine. And then there's the milk. The most easy digestive of all foods and the best. And God offers this, without money and without price. And he offers bread, because it's bread that's broken, and Christ was broken. It's bread that's to be received. It's to be eaten. It's to be assimilated. And it's to be digested and declared. B-R-E-A-D. And it's known all over the world. It's the staff of life. And when God bids you to his banqueting house, and the banner over us is love, he never, never brings you to a table that's not sufficient for your every need. And that's why when God's ancient people fed, what did they feed on? They had the manna. They had the roast lamb. They had the old corn of the land. Christ in humiliation. Christ in his death. Christ in his resurrection. And that's why he says, set your affections on things above. And as we come to the Word of God, we discover that the Word of God is sweeter than honey to the taste. The Word of God is of more value than all the gold of the world. But you don't believe it. You can prove it. There was a man who lived on this earth, one of the oldest men, and I think it's the first book of the Bible. His name was Job. And he says, I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Show me a man today that really tries to follow it. And yet the Lord was here, and he told the people, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, what did he mean? He simply meant this. You only live spiritually in proportion as you feed on the Word of God. And I must have food to keep me going physically. But many a time I've asked the Lord to help me, especially when it comes to this business of food. Put a knife to my throat if I'm given over to gluttony. And when I think of how some people live, and then I think of our abundance, I'm a very, very thankful man. But I want to discipline myself so that when I get far away and I just get anything for a nice red apple, but there's no use. And if I could get even some apple juice, wouldn't it be marvelous? To see apple juice. Because I used to remember mother and father in the old days getting the apples and squeezing them. When they were in abundance. But it's not possible. And there are times when you have to discipline yourself. But how many of us ever discipline ourselves when it comes to getting 5 minutes for God and His book? And so a fellow says to me, well, I don't understand much of it. I don't understand too much either. But I can read the Word of God. The Word of God is given as a message from the heart of God to your heart. And there are a few people who are called students and were to study. I belong to the SDS Club, Study to Show. But all of God's people aren't students. You're called to do as my father did. He had too many kids to have much time. But he's a hard-working man, 9 in the family. And oh, how he had to work for us. But he meditated. And he meditated through the Word of God. And that's what you can do. But you see, we don't have any time. We don't have any discipline. And we don't have much sacrifice. And we don't take a few minutes, a 15 minutes here or a half an hour there. When I got converted, I remembered as well as could be at a young people's camp. And I remember the man at the camp saying to me, now if you go on and you read the Word of God and learn to pray, maybe next year you'll come back and you'll be some help to us, because we sure need young fellows. So I listened to him. And when I got home, I thought I'd take one night out of the week, and I didn't care who was coming or what was going on. I'd shut myself in with the Lord and get on the way with the Bible. Still have it. And my, sometimes now I don't have too much time. But oh, am I thankful to God I got off to the right start. And as far as I'm concerned, He's keeping the best wine to the end. Why? Because I'm learning that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be what? Filled! And when we come to the Word of God, He's made every provision. And we have this marvelous provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we do? This fellow, he likes leeks. This fellow, he likes garlic. And as far as the leeks and the garlic and the onions of this present evil world, which is suggestive of many things that people go after down here, they'd rather sit down to these things then sit down to the Word of God. And that's why I thank God for a good appetite. That's why I come to a table and I'm so thankful that I'm hungry, because that shows that I'm normal and I'm healthy. But how many of us are healthy spiritually? And we don't come to the Word of God the right way. Now, my brother's been serving the Lord 55 years, and I was brought up in one way, he was brought up the other. We hope to have a little reunion in the days come, because he's going to be 80, and he's been serving God since he was a boy. 55 years he's been on the way. It's been a good testimony to me. So here he is. And I used to hear him sometimes. I could hardly wait. Quiet. He said, we're just meditating and thinking over on the book of Colossians. And there's a point there that God has been speaking to me. And I just want to get at it. Now, I find myself the same way. Why? Because the Word of God is an ever-growing, expanding. God gives you something for your heart. God gives you something for your mind. God gives you something for everyday life. And God can give you something for all days of your life. So that as you grow older, the outward man is perishing. The body is weakening. But the inward man is growing and developing. Why? Because if you died tonight and you were taken out of this world, the only thing that you take out is what you've learned of God. Can I prove it? Yes! Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And he says, that good part which she hath chosen shall never be taken away from her. And my father-in-law is a living illustration, because he's gone as far as physical side of life is concerned. He's got a big smile. His body is wasted away. All you have to do, and he can't talk, just give him the Word of God. And the little smile comes. And the hand that's now so weak will reach out and go like this. But this side's all paralyzed. And what he learned of God is alive and with him, even though everything else is going to pieces. And the thing that will live and stay with you all through your life is what you learn of God. You'll learn something from me, it'll go. And that's why when it comes to some of the things of God, the world's poorest pencil is better than the world's best memory. Because so many of us, we're good forgetters. And the result is, we don't even seem to absorb or take in anything. That's why we need to take the odd note now and then. But some of us aren't even trained or disciplined along that line. And if we come to the Word of God and get it into our hearts, and imbibe it and appropriate it, what a wonderful thing. What does Bible spell out? B-I-B-L-E. Be instructed before leaving. Where? Earth. B-I-B-L-E. And this is the book for me. And so I come to the Word of God. And I find now, why, there's nothing like it in all the world. And I believe the Word of God, which says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. And the word settled there means it's fixed. So you can't destroy it. You can't take it away. God has fixed it. He's got it. And it's all up there. And the word there is a military word. And just as we have divisions and they have the different forms of life in the army, and there's this, the soldier, the corporals, and the sergeants, and the majors, and the colonel, it's all in divisions. So the Word of God is that way. And it's all laid up. And I believe when we get home to heaven, I believe throughout all eternity, God will be unfolding the wonders of His glorious Word. And that's why, as you're on the earth, you should make it your highest attainment, because it's life's most enriching experience to know God. But if some of us died tonight or were taken away, and you ever met up with a chap like Habakkuk with the long name, or you met up with a little chap like Obadiah, are they in the Bible? I believe that everything you need on the face of the earth, as long as you live, it's in the Bible. And the Bible is way ahead of the science of its day. And when it comes to truth, buy the truth. Sell it not. What does it mean? Pay any price to get it. And then when you've got it, keep it. That's why no man's going to take it away from me. Because I pay a price for this. And if I had my life to live over again, like I wrote my boy, I'd start all over again. And I'd try and do a lot better. In what way? Getting to know the Lord. You can't walk and live with a person for 40 years and have sweet fellowship with them and then want to go back on them. No. I believe the word of God, take heed to thyself. For in saving others, thou shalt save thyself. That's why I'm glad I'm in it. Because as I preach, as I teach, I know something of the power of evil. I've got a sea of iniquity within me. I know something of the power of the devil to rob me of everything that's good and pure and precious, the word of God. And I know something of the pull and the allurement of this present evil world. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And somebody rings up about the 33 things that take place when you get saved. Maybe you only know two. And they want me to explain it. Well, listen, the word of God is there. Start with the alphabet. When a person gets saved, first and foremost, he's accepted in the beloved. He comes into the family of God like the men we're singing. I'm in that family. I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. And if I go through the Bible, I find I'm justified in Romans. I'm sanctified in Corinthians. I'm joyful in Philippians. I could go right through. What else? I'm adopted. I have access. And then you can go to B. I'm baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Oh my, you just go on. And when I stop and meditate, his was the agony. Mine is the assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. B, his was the bitterness. A dark Calvary, but mine is the blessing. And I've been blessed with all spiritual blessing, or every spiritual blessing in heaven. Do you think you're going to rob me of that? Never. Because I've meditated upon these words. And they're real. And they're true. And they're wonderful. And as I learn of God, I find myself getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, I find myself worshiping at his feet. Because the knowledge of this world puffs the man up. But the knowledge of God breaks the man down. And he discovers, oh Lord, you're absolutely wonderful. You're just beautiful. Why? Because you discover something about the provision that God has made. And he meets in every need, past, present, future. And all that I need as a man is found in him. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. But that's not the way it is with you. But I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Do you know him? Young people, this old book's as dry as dust to some of you. But if God could do what the prophet said, oh Lord, open the young man's eyes. And he did. And he saw that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I'm on the winning side, regardless of what anyone may say. And the third thing I come here, he introduces me to a person. And this is one of the most beautiful titles of our Lord. And that's why he starts it. He says, verse 4, behold, I have given him to be a witness. That's one. And a leader. That's two. And a commander. That's three. Now in the Word of God, there's about 377 titles of Christ. So Brother Branch ought to know his. These are titles. or descriptions of our glorious Lord. And in this book, there are many, many that I haven't time to go into. But here's three. What's the witness? Someone to believe in. What's the leader? Someone to follow. What's the commander? Someone to obey. And Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. And he came down to this world. And he shows me the way. And wherever he went, he was about his Father's business. And he went about doing good. Now I'm to follow him. And he says, you shall be my witnesses. And the word embraces martyr. And it can lead to death. And you never, never begin to live until you learn to die. Why? We go to funerals and they say, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And they think that's the poor old body there. God knows what he's talking about. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Why? Henceforth, when I became a Christian, hands off, I'm under his lordship. And from now on, I get my orders from him. He's my Lord. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so, as a witness, he shows me the way. As a leader, he not only makes the way, he points out the way. That's why he left God's people in a past day, a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. But what's he given to you? He's given you the Holy Spirit within. He's given you the Word of God without. And you've got the pull of heaven above. And as I go through this world, I'm not walking alone. He's promised to be with me. Lo, I'm with you always. And I'm looking for a city which has foundation. The builder and architect is God. And one of these days, it'll all be over. And I'll see him. What a thing to be able to get through this world that I fought a good fight. Because it is. Because my captain is victorious. And oh, to follow on. And so, as a witness, I believe in him. And as a leader, I follow him. And I want to be like Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord. And as a commander, I want to obey him. Because my orders come from him. And to one he says, go. To another he says, come. And woe betide you if you've never heard the voice of Jesus say, come. The sweetest words that could perhaps fall on your ear. But one day you may hear, depart. I never knew you. And so here you have a proclamation from heaven through the lips of Isaiah. Here you have God's provision. And it's just full of good things. He brought me into his banqueting house. And he says, drink abundantly, oh my beloved. And he says to you, come and dine. Because he's got the best of fare. And it's fatness. And then think of the person who invites you. And then what's the promise he makes? There are seven of them. I won't get time to go over, but look at the first one. This is the promise of God. The first one he says, incline your ear, verse 3, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now who says it? The Lord. He that heareth my word, and believe in him that sent me, shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And the first thing is life. And the second thing is abundance of life. Because he speaks here about fatness. That which overflows. And eat that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in its fatness. So there's something else. And then thirdly, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And what's the covenant he makes with me? That soul without Jesus hath leave for repose. He'll never know, never desert to its hold. That soul all hell should endeavor to shake. He'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. What's the covenant he makes? Him that cometh, I will no wise cast out. And he grants forgiveness, eternal life, the righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. All this in heaven too. There's three things. Then he says, he will abundantly pardon. And that's a marvelous thing. And a lot of Christians don't enter into it. Mercy there was rich and grace was free at Calvary. But he says, seek the Lord while he may be found, because he may be speaking to you this week. And this time next week, you may wonder if you're the same fellow. Because the same sun that melts the snow in Canada is the same sun that hardens the clay in Carolina. And the word of God will come home to your heart with refreshing and blessing if you're in the right way. But if you aren't, you can get like many people in assemblies. They just become gospel hardened. And the pure word of God doesn't come home. And you may have little movings and leanings toward God tonight. And yet you're like the ox and you're like the donkey and you don't respond to the overtures of God's mercy. What is the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is God's favor, but mercy is associated with judgment. And if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, where would you stand? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And God is rich in mercy and plenteous in mercy. And he says here, he's abundantly able to pardon. And that's why he pleads with the wicked to forsake his way. And he offers pardon. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next verse and he said, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens above the earth, so far are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. What's he talking about? That you in your puny little brain can never, never rise to the heights and the marvels, the level that God has for his people, for the children of men. And that's why it's so awful. Instead of living like millionaires, instead of living in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, and in the realization that in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in Jesus Christ is the very fullness of God, instead of living and appropriating this, we live like the pygmies of the forest. And I've seen many an African with a little thimble full of truth, with a smiling face and absolutely nothing of this world's goods. But he knows the Lord. And I tell you, it's made me rise up and want to worship God. And that's why I see it today. Men that have the means and have that which God has blessed them. And when it comes to the things of God and the gospel, they haven't even begun to realize that having received of the Lord freely, so we ought to be that way when it comes to the furtherance of his cause. When I think of the struggle that I had to get these two books done, I'm amazed, but God helped us over a period of 9 years. And yet I come home to a country like this, and God forbid that I should get on the bandwagon and send out letters, and that's what perplexes us. Because one leans over backward this way, and then the other one, he's too reticent. But I thank God that my wife came from a missionary family, and I have had a little teaching, but we know what it is to shut the door, to go into the presence of God, and put a need before him, and then see how the God of Elijah still lives today. And that's why, as far as I'm concerned, there's no light in all the world like living for God. But to whom much is given, much will be required. And the Lord has blessed me and helped me, And then how can I do less than give him my best? And to every man his work. But there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And God has a plan for every human life. And that plan will never, ever come into commencement or enter into fruition until you come to know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. But God's got a plan for you. And Christians live and die, and they never even enter into it. And what I say is the truth. And that's why I'd leave no stone unturned. What is God's will for my life? And whether you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you ought to be able to say, I am a construction man under God, or according to his will. And then if you believe that, then enter into it. And what God has given to you to do, do it with all your might and prove him. Because no man can outgive God. No man can outclass God. Because God is faithful. And God is no man's debtor. Go and prove it. He has a plan. And then he says here something. And I don't want to go away without leaving it with you. And he talks about his word. He's given me a book. And he says, this book comes out of his mouth. Now, the word of God is coming out of my mouth. And the reason why the word of God isn't blessed a lot of times, because it comes out of his mouth into your mouth. But by the time it gets out of your mouth, it's gone through quite a few things. And some of the stuff that's in you, it's like they say, that fellow's not sincere. And so, it's like putting milk into vinegar, it turns sour. But the word of God comes from the Lord. Out of his mouth cometh wisdom and knowledge. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the very breath of God. But it goes through your mouth. That's where the trouble lies. And I ask God to keep my mouth clean and healthy. And as I give up the word, I know I haven't been talking about anybody today. And I know I haven't been saying things that are not right. And I'm not going to run down people, because there's a lot of running down today among God's people, and it's not by means of a car. It's about this thing. And people today, they talk by the yard, they live by the inch, and such people should be dealt with by the foot. And we're almost in the metric system. Now look what it says here. So the word that goeth forth. So here's number one. It goeth forth out of my mouth. Two, it shall not return unto me void. You can count on it. It's going to perform its work. It's an absolute certainty. It shall accomplish that which I please. Three, it shall prosper that which I have sent it. Four, five, I sent it. And if you'll study those five things about the Bible, you'll find that God's word will take care of itself. Because it's like a lion. It doesn't need anybody to defend it. But I have the privilege in my day and generation of contending earnestly for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. And God has given me this body of truth, and I'm going to stick to it and hang on to it and defend it. But don't forget, as long as we're on the face of the earth, the Bible will be here, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And here we have it. And then what's it? How does it all end? Well, he's given me a glorious and wonderful prospect. And he says, if I come to him and trust him, this is what happens. And you might as well write over verse 13, 2 Corinthians, where it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Look, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Well, I trust that that way when we go back to Africa, God will take care of us. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign. And here's something that God has promised me, that instead of the thorn, the symbol of sin, that they put around the brow of my blessed Lord, instead of the thorn, there's going to be the fir. Some translate the cypress, doesn't matter. The fir tree was used for musical instruments. And instead of sin and blasphemy And instead of dirt and degradation coming out of the abundance of my heart, because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, instead of stench and blasphemy, my life can be an instrument of praise, and I can sing theirs within my heart a melody. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, a melody of love. Oh, Elmer, use your voice for God. Use what you have for God, whether you can play, whatever it is. Use it for God instead of the thorn. Something that sings and praises. And the other one's even better, especially if you're a woman. Instead of the briar that's good for nothing, good to be burned. That's all I was, a brand plucked from the burning. But instead of the briar, the myrtle tree. You ever seen one? Beautiful sight. It's like your countryside now with all of its riot of color. But the myrtle tree in particular, because they take its leaves and they crush them and they get one of the most wonderful perfumes in the world. And that's where you get the word Esther from. Myrtle is Hadassah in Persian, but Esther is the same name in Hebrew. But here, the picture that he's painting here, instead of that which is worthless, there's a fragrance. And God, by his Spirit through Paul, tells me that I'm a fragrance, an aroma, a perfume of Christ going through this godless world. And to some, I'm sweetness, a savor of life. And to those who don't love him and have no time for him, I'm a savor of death. And you see, Jesus Christ makes all the difference. And that's why the best is yet to be. I wonder, can you remember the first one? What's the promise? He gives life. Life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Mother, have you got it? Father, have you got it?